Okay, any questions on the agenda before we get started?
The agenda is pretty straightforward. I see three things on it: background, problem statement, and
yeah, definitions. Yeah, we'll go into each one of these items. Mainly what we're looking for today is just background on both of you, what you're doing at the Credentials Transparency Initiative, and then we would like your feedback on some of the technical work, standardization work that we are going to try to get started at the World Wide Web Consortium. And as we spoke a week ago, Jeannie, you know, we feel that there's a
yes.
heavy amount of overlap there. So the question is, do you think the technical work we are proposing is going to help CTI out, and if so, in what way? That's the general like feedback. And really, you know, the feedback is whatever feedback you want to give us, whatever your thoughts are on the matter, that would be helpful to get from you.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and let's see. We're going to go ahead and start the call here in a second. Just as a heads up, this call is recorded. The audio is recorded. And we're also transcribing the call so we can share it with the larger W3C membership. There are 400 plus members there. The other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, if at any point you don't want something minuted or you want us to delete it from the audio, let us know. Is it okay if we record the call and transcribe the call?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to put, just for the transcription, the agenda is here. On the agenda, we wanted to start off with getting some background from both of you, kind of why, you know, how you got involved in CTI, and in general, your professional background to, you know, so that people know what your perspective is. And then we'll go into and then I think we'd like to add something to the agenda where we go into what the CTI is trying to do, the Credential Transparency Initiative is trying to do, and then we'll get into the full discussion. So let's go ahead and start out with some background. Jeannie, Bob, whichever one wants to go first, go ahead and give us some background on yourselves, please.
Okay, this is Bob, and I'm a research professor at George Washington Institute of Public Policy. And in relationship to this project, what I've been working on over, quite a few years is what is the necessary data infrastructure for the credentialing marketplace that improves transparency and greater efficiency in a larger marketplace, especially in ways in which you exchange information between credentialing organizations, credential holders, and employers and labor market information systems. So I kind of lay out like five basic building blocks of a data infrastructure and why I was interested in the current initiative we are on is to create more comparable information about credentialing organizations, the credentials they publish or make clear to the credentialing marketplace, and then how do they issue and provide authentication services to employers and other credentialing organizations about their credential holders.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm Jeannie Kitchens. I'm the Associate Director at the Southern Illinois University Center for Workforce Development. And, you know, Bob just elaborated on the kind of the background of the the initiative. And then in my background here, I've worked with Bob over the years on many projects. And, you know, some of them were just building blocks, kind of getting to this bigger national picture rather than just focusing on it within the state of Illinois.
Awesome. Thank you. And then if you could give us a bit of background on the Credential Transparency Initiative and what that is trying to do, its connection with Lumna. If any, all that kind of background on CTI would also be good.
You want me to do it? Or? Okay. We are just one of many projects that have been funded by Lumina Foundation and some of their partners to address how do we improve the transparency in the credentialing marketplace, including how we more clearly define the connections between credentials. And as you all probably know well, the credentialing marketplace around the world is becoming much more complex than it was historically, with many different types of credentials, and of course many different ways for individuals to make attestations that they have credentials through many different platforms, not just transcripts, for example. And so what this our project is focusing on, how do we have an infrastructure to allow any credentialing organization to make comparable information about their credentials to the world, to the open marketplace, and also to declare relationships between their credentials and other credentials as part of that process. Jean, you want to add more?
The problem is the maze of credentials that are currently out there, the variety of types of credentials, the confusion around how credentials are even defined and what a credential is. And so the project aims to develop the metadata infrastructure, and we have a technical approach that is very well defined on our technical planning website that says that the metadata infrastructure developed must conform to the W3C specification for semantic metadata. So our goal is to propose the metadata infrastructure during this project period that we would hope would be able to continue on, past the project.
Great, thank you. So let me ask the first question, which is why the need for a metadata standard? Like, what mechanisms are used today? I think you said there are many different types of credentials in the world and many different ways of getting them and displaying them. Why is that not good enough? Why is there a need for a metadata standard? Isn't the technology that's already deployed today good enough to do what you want to be able to do with the CTI?
I can address in one way. Think about we've had existing metadata structures for narrow bands of traditional credentials that have developed common language and vocabulary to describe themselves. But the credentialing marketplace now is seeing a much more other types of credentials that cannot be described in the existing vocabularies commonly used. And we're also going to, in which the common currency among credential is moving toward competencies, which have historically not been represented in a consistent way by even the traditional credentials. So for us to be able to have greater interoperability between all these varieties, we need to develop a vocabulary that's much more generalized that would allow all of the types of credentials to use a consistent vocabulary to describe themselves. And I think the biggest challenge is, in many cases, there are certain aspects of credentials that are becoming more apparent, which includes statements about what somebody should know and be able to do when they hold or being issued a competency, a credential.
So as far as, the problem space, do you think that the problem's only in vocabulary? Like, once you figure out what all the vocabularies are, that will solve the problem? Or are there other technology gaps that CTI is looking at right now?
Well, no, I think that would be the under the shared vocabulary, but I think we also have a situation where people make assertions about each other, and third parties make assertions about each other that we need to also make totally available. So I don't know if that gets to the beyond the vocabulary issue.
Well, the project, you know, speaking from the project perspective, you know, one of the clear deliverables is the metadata infrastructure, but we'll also the other component of the technology is a registry, a credential registry that will utilize that infrastructure as an intermediate step, because one of the reasons, you know, we believe the project to be important as to show a value add of defining this shared vocabulary. We have to do it through a means to store the data, because currently it would be impossible to get all this information just, you know, trying to grab it from hundreds of websites.
And also we have the problem is when we're developing, we're working up a series of use cases, and if I can give you an example of a use case that's given us pause that may be related to your initiative. When an individual has a resume and makes an assertion about a credential they hold, historically, many times employers would want to go back and find out, well, what was behind that. And what we have is many times the credentialing organization who issued that does not maintain any information on what sits behind that, and also may not even be around. And so imagine a situation where somebody has a degree in computer science from 1976. We don't have any way for anybody on the web to actually discover and verify, understand what that credential holder is asserting, because that information is not readily available and consistently available, especially when we have credentialing organizations that don't have sufficient version control in their credentialing, and also may not even be in existence.
Right. Okay. Great. Fantastic. Okay. So we've got a bit of your background and some background on the CTI and the problems that it's dealing with. We're going to shift gears really quickly right now, just to talk about the problem statement that the Verifiable Claims Task Force is looking at. So let me go ahead and give you the link to that in the IRC channel. So I'm looking at this page here. Did you see the link, Jeannie, pop up on your screen?
Yeah.
Just open that link. Yes. And if you scroll down to the problem statement, it's like the second red highlighted heading. There it says there is no currently widely used user-centric standard. You see that?
Yes, we see it.
Okay, so what we're going to try and do is go through this problem statement. One of the most important things that we do kind of in the pre-standardization work is figure out if there's agreement on the problem first before we start, you know, march off trying to solve the problem. So we've, you know, gone out and talked to 43 organizations in healthcare, education, government, and technology about, you know, what their needs are. We've had interviews with, you know, 12 plus people just like this that are experts that are involved in credentialing initiatives. To get their perspective on the problem statement. So what we're looking for here is whether or not you agree with the problem statement, if you think it's misguided, if you think there's wording that's inaccurate or wrong, just in general, your thoughts on the problem statement. And we're just going to start at the beginning and go through. So it starts off by saying there's currently no widely used user-centric standard for expressing and transacting verifiable claims, aka credentials and attestations, via the web. Basically, what we're saying is that of the mechanisms that exist today where you can express a credential in a digital form on the web, they tend to be what we're calling service-centric instead of user-centric. So the distinction being, you know, in who holds on to the data or who has control over where the data is stored. So in a service-centric system, you can think of like Facebook or Twitter, all your data, or Google Plus, all your data is kind of locked in those services. And whenever you transmit that data to somewhere else, Google or Facebook or Twitter know where you're sending that data. So that's a service-centric ecosystem. So, for example, if you were to store your issued credentials at Google and Facebook, Google and Facebook would know every single place that you use those credentials. They would be able to derive then whether you're applying for a job or if you're in legal trouble or a variety of other things like that. So it's not a very privacy-aware system. The other approach addressing this credentials ecosystem, or trying to get a technical implementation behind this credentials ecosystem, is going at it from a user-centric standpoint. And this means that whenever a credential is issued, it's issued to the credential holder, which is typically the student or the person that's doing job training, the person that's taken a class and taken a test and proven that they should hold on to that credential. That person then takes that credential and stores it wherever they want to. So, for example, they could choose to store it on Google, or they could choose to store it in their corporate environment, their enterprise environment. They could choose to store it at their university, or they could choose to store it in a server that's running out of their home, right? Or in their mobile phone. So the idea here is that the person that's receiving the credential can choose to store it wherever they want to store it. But that doesn't mean that the issuer of the credential can't revoke the credential at any point. So, for example, if a university found out that a student cheated on a test after the fact, after they had issued the credential, they can still revoke that credential at any point. So does the distinction between kind of user-centric and service-centric make sense to both of you? Do you have any questions about that?
No, it makes a lot of sense.
Makes sense.
Okay, so effectively the assertion that we're making in the work is that there is no user-centric standard for expressing and transacting verifiable claims, meaning that, you know, the credential holder is typically not in control today, and that is the primary problem that all these other problems stem from. So, for example, and I'm jumping down to these problems exist today, so we're basically saying that, you know, today there are identity services that hold on to credentials, and they kind of inject themselves into every relationship in the ecosystem. They're always the middle party, right? All the information flows through them, and they can track, who is using the information, where it's being used. So there's a privacy concern there. The other issue there is that a lot of the credentials are stored at that digital identity provider, which means that you are locked into one provider. You're locked into Facebook or Twitter or Google, and that creates a lot of, knock-on issues. Like, there's not a lot of competition in the marketplace because everybody goes with the super providers. There's reduced privacy for issuers and for the credential holders, for the consumers, because you've always got this party in the middle that's looking at the credentials passing back and forth. Some of the other issues that exist is that your identity is then tied very strongly to Google or Facebook, meaning you can't easily take your credentials from one storage location to another storage location without also losing your identity in the process. Dave Lonely has put himself on the queue, so I'm going to pause briefly while he speaks, and then we'll continue.
Yeah, I was just going to offer up another way to understand the difference between user-centric and service-centric that I think might, at least to me, seems like it's been helpful. You can think of service-centric as people having identities that are sort of like Mike at Google or Mike at Twitter, and you could think of user-centric as just Mike. So you could move your identity around or your credentials to different services freely. Whereas in the service-centric system, your identity is tightly bound up or dependent upon certain services.
Okay, so as far as the problem statement, we're basically saying that One, it's very difficult for you to assert qualifications on the web today. It's very difficult for you to do the equivalent of reaching into your wallet, pulling out your driver's license, and showing someone that driver's license. Very hard to do on the web today. And then the other set of problems we're saying have to do with you being forced to pick certain wallets to store your data in. So you have to pick Google or Facebook. And once you pick them, you can never move those credentials from Google to somewhere else or from Facebook to somewhere else. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Yep.
Okay. So are there any concerns with framing the problem in this way? Would you frame it in a different way? Thoughts?
No, I was thinking the only thing that I'm seeing now, again, this is not in the generic sense that you're talking about it in Trump's, but it's in our world, in the credentialing world, there's a big debate now over this question in the context of those people who've historically provided authentication services for different credentials, mm-hmm. like transcript services.
Right.
And then the question becomes, well, but what if the student wanted to hold that in a larger set of statements so that the university really doesn't own this device that they've created? They are contributing to somebody else. And that's, I think that would be just a good example of what you're talking about with in our space. And that is now a idea that has been, it's created a lot of discussion. Well, how would all this work? And so I'm just suggesting that if for communicated into our world, what you're doing, it'd be an example from our space would be that.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. So the fundamental kind of the pillars that the fundamental notion that this work is being built on, or that we're proposing that the work's built on, is that we want a very rich and vibrant ecosystem where there could be thousands of issuers, credential issuers, there could be thousands of different credential consumers, and there could be, you know, thousands of different locations where you can store these credentials, you know, different services. And ultimately, it's up to the credential holder to figure out where they want to store their credentials, you know, whether they want to store them at Google or Facebook or some, you know, their university or someplace else. The other, I think, important point to make is that we're not trying to push any particular control model over those credentials. So, you know, it's perfectly viable for a university to say, this is our credential, we are issuing it to you, you can carry it around with you, but we can revoke it at any point, right? So at no point is control lost by the university. Or a university can say, you know what, this is your credential. You know, the fact that you took a CS 101 class, there you go, there's a credential. You never really have to come back to us if you want to show that to someone else, right? And so that's, you know, a little more possible with lower stakes credentials. So anyway, all this to basically say that we're not trying to force any particular control model onto the way credentials are stored. What we're trying to do is create an interoperable ecosystem where there can be many different types of credentials, and the way that you exchange these credentials and represent the credentials is the same mechanism internationally, is the same mechanism between healthcare and education and financial services, government work, so on and so forth.
I would urge you, have you all, you mentioned all the different organizations you've brought this forward to. I think this would be very interesting to the standardization bodies that deal with the human resource information systems of employers. I would urge you all to talk to them.
We are. They're a bit the issue right now is a bit chicken egg, right? So the HR folks say, we would love to consume these credentials. Who's going to start generating them, right? And then you go to the universities, and I mean, many of the universities see what the future is, and they're already on board. But we do get a number of folks, you know, when it comes time to start issuing them, they ask, okay, well, who's going to start consuming them? And we point at the, you know, human resources type organizations, and we get stuck in this kind of chicken egg situation.
No, I'm saying.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying is that they are trying to consume the old credentials now and have a heart problem.
Right.
And because they're trying to push them into their applicant tracking systems.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of problems they have now. And so I'm suggesting is this would be it's not like they're not, these systems are not trying to consume stuff now.
Right. So what would you say are some of the problems with trying to get the existing credentials into these applicant tracking systems?
They are, again, I don't have the technical expertise you all do, so I'm going to have to say it in more of a non-technical way, is they are, for the many of these employers are getting 3 million applicants, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times they are trying to figure out, how do I parse out a resume that's, it should be like a database, and how do I parse out information in that resume into my data fields that I use for screening on eligibility?
Right.
And sometimes those eligibility conditions would be things like age, would be something about work history, would be something about minimal credential held. They need to parse that stuff into a data structure that they can put, they can use. And right now, because they can't sometimes, they make applicants actually fill out a structured form online.
Got it.
Go ahead. And so ultimately, that makes good sense for a small employer who's only dealing with 50 applicants or 20 or 10 or what. But the World Wide Web is allowing people to apply for hundreds of jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the question becomes, what they end up doing is just say, well, just attach your resume or attach your transcript. It's not allowing that information in the transcript to be immediately put into a database structure.
Right.
And so I don't know if that helps or not, but that's
absolutely. Yeah. So we call that, you know, a data format problem, right? So it's a data modeling and data format problem. There is no, or at least what we're trying to assert is there is no standard data model or data format that you could put a credential into today that a software vendor like, you know, Oracle or IBM or even a small software vendor could build something around, right? Where you could say on a website, please submit your credentials.
And so in the old credential world, that is now being a problem that's not resolved. But now we have, in the new credentialing world, we have things called competencies,
mm-hmm,
that add a level of complexity that now just adds, it just overwhelms the old problem, which they haven't solved still.
Right. So, Jeannie, you mentioned that CTI is looking at some W3C technology to try and address this problem. How far down that road are you, and what particular technologies are you looking at?
So where we are in the process is we have a technical advisory committee, and we have a metadata expert who is facilitating our advisory committee, and we're working through the a process, and within that process we're working on the domain model and all of the related classes and properties that are, you know, necessary to you know, fully describe credentials, but that's an evolving process. So I couldn't really give you a percentage, but I can say we do have that information actually even available on our website, available to the public. So we have viewers where you can see where we have placeholders for the infrastructure and what that design looks like.
Sorry, I was muted. Do you have a link to that that you could put into the IRC channel?
Sure.
And then while we wait for that link, Bob, what do you see as the ideal ecosystem here? Like what you know, if CTI is successful and there are a set of technologies in place, what do you see as the future? If we solve some
I'm really excited about what you all are doing, because you're dealing with a related problem that we have. Where what we're trying to address is allow any credentialing organization to clearly say, when somebody holds my credential, a holder, an individual, these are the credentialing requirements that they met to hold my credential, even though there could be some minor variation by individual. And that declaration is in version control, allowing to say them, when I awarded credentials during this time period, here is what I was attesting that individuals who hold my credentials actually know and can do, and they have met other requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also then are issuing a credential in a way that provides an authentication service and also defines under what condition a holder can make a claim. Some of them are time-limited claims, like certifications are time-limited claims. The individual does not own that credential. In other cases, it's time unlimited, right? And then, so the idea would be to have, so this infrastructure would allow any credentialing organization to publish on the web comparable information about those declarations, and then they can make declarations on connections to other credentials. So that's what we're trying to work inside. But we need others like you all to figure out the solutions around what you're describing as a service for individuals to hold a variety of credentials that they can make available to employers, to other credentialing organizations, and or any other sort of users of their credentialing information. So we see this as a necessary complementary development to what we're trying to do.
Hey, Manny, I don't know what, I just did the page refreshed, and I don't know why I can't enter that, but the URL is credreg.net.
So credential registry and apps right there.
Yes.
And then
okay.
Where is the data model that we were looking at that Stuart Sutton was working on? Do you know where that is?
Sure. Yeah, if you follow the link, there's a the DCAP process step, and so that's with the domain.
Got it. Credentialing partners.
So with step two, there's some general information, you know, talking about how a domain model is developed, and if you scroll down the page, you will come to toward the bottom. A domain, the credential, draft credential model, you know, with a timestamp on it is ever changing, and a draft competency model, and then below that you'll see a properties viewer, and, you know, the viewer has a disclaimer on it saying, you know, don't use this actual data right now because it's work in progress. So as we update it, the viewer is updated in real time.
Okay, hold on one second. I'm trying to find the viewer, and I am lost.
Okay.
Oh, I got it. Draft domain model. Hold on. I think I have the domain model there. Draft domain model. And then what I'm trying to do is give the W3C membership some idea of the types of W3C technologies you're looking at. And from what I'm gathering, you're looking pretty heavily at linked data, linked data RDF. There was also some prototypes that were done in JSON-LD, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see here.
Yes, there's some evolving samples also on the main menu. There's a little section called viewers, and you could see a glossary and other examples of viewers. But you were correct on both things that you just said.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let me get the properties
step three,
viewer.
And step three under description, set development toward the bottom of that page is where you would see maybe a better view showing the evolving linked data format.
Got it. Okay. I've found all of these pages you were talking about. So I was clicking on the wrong menu, but I see them now. Okay. That's great. Syntax development, domain model. Okay, all this stuff is good. And this will help us demonstrate that, you know, CTI is looking at W3C technology, and it'll kind of light a fire under them to do something about it. If we were not able to get this work started, how would that impact the work you're trying to do? So, I mean, we're talking about a credentialing ecosystem, standardizing a technical a credentialing ecosystem that can issue credentials, store them at the credential holder's choice, you know, wherever they want to, and then a credential consumer like an HR department would be able to technically request a set of credentials from someone and get them in a completely machine-readable format. If we were not able to do that work, like, for example, if the membership decides to vote down this proposal, what would be the effects on your initiative? What alternative plan do you have?
We would have a hard time because it is part of a three-legged stool. We have to have the credentialing organizations publish comparable information in the marketplace. We then have to have individuals be able to communicate claims in the marketplace themselves through their own volition, but they need to connect to the employers. So we think of the marketplace as a three-legged stool. And if somebody doesn't address the problems you're dealing with on that one leg, again, I'm not saying that the other two legs are doing swimmingly. I'm just suggesting is we need to have we are trying to take W3 guidance in the way we're doing that one leg. But if somebody's not working on the individual side of this and how the information is held and communicated in the marketplace, then that is one building block of a credentialing marketplace that's not being addressed, and we hope you all do it.
Got it. Okay, that's very
helpful. And by the way, and think about this on the employer side. I'm not just dealing with things that a credentialing organization would give to an individual. What employers want are a variety of other things that I really love the way you guys are talking about credentials. They're going to want to know citizenship. They're going to want to know other things that an individual is attesting that they are that goes along with credentialing, that goes along with credentialing information like we're talking about.
Right.
That needs to be handled in the same way.
Okay. Great. Yeah, and I mean, that's certainly the plan, or at least that's what we're proposing. You know, that the way a professional license and accreditation, transcript, micro-credential, driver's, passport, all those things should be handled in the same way. And we have technical proposals that demonstrate that can be done. Go ahead.
That's why I love the power of your guys' vision is because it needs to be handled in the same way.
Okay, great. So there's currently some back and forth going on around what the first set of technical work could be. There are two primary groups. There are the groups that want to solve the full problem in one go, and there are groups that want to kind of take a staged approach to it. So the staged approach, there are two big pieces of work that need to be, technical work that need to be done right now. So the first stage of technical work is we need to figure out what the data model and the format for expressing these verifiable statements are, for these expressing these credentials are. And there are organizations that are saying that should be easy, we should be able to get that done in a year. So let's just focus on that. And then how these credentials actually flow around the ecosystem is not a primary concern, right? So that's one camp. The other camp says, yes, we need to figure out the data model and the syntax and how these credentials are expressed, but without some protocol, transport protocol, so how does an issuer send it to the credential holder? How does the credential holder then send the credential to the their storage system? How does a credential consumer request a credential? That's the protocol. Without the protocol bits, we've got an ecosystem that doesn't work, right? So the question is, you know, should we try and stage this work, or should we try and get it all done in one go? And really, to be more specific, would it be worthwhile to just focus on the data format, the data model and the data format, and figure out how we express this stuff from a technical perspective? Or do both of you feel like until we have a protocol that can move these credentials around, just expressing them isn't enough? Did that question make sense?
It makes sense. I'm not sure how to answer.
I don't either, because I guess what I, when you, I don't know, because I'm not near the technical experts you all are, but I know one thing that keeps coming up with, the question you're getting over and over again, is around the protocols of control the information by the issuers of credentials. Mm-hmm. And that is their biggest deal, that I don't care who you are, most credentialing organizations says, I'm constantly being asked for authentication services. I'm constantly being asked to maintain my brand in the marketplace. What's the protocols by which my credentialing authority is being utilized by others? And I'm assuming that gets at protocols.
Yeah.
And my worry my worry is that to introduce it to people that we deal with that are not the technical people, but people that would have to buy on as stakeholders in this process, if you don't convince people that you have given sufficient thought to the protocols, mm-hmm. you may get some resistance.
Got it. Okay. Okay, that's helpful. You know, the resistance, let me explain a bit more about the resistance. The resistance is primarily around, can we take baby steps to try and address this issue, or can we not see any benefit until we have both data format and protocol in place?
If I could suggest a modification to my response, if you had just laid out what the questions are on the protocols that need to be addressed, mm-hmm. I think that would give people more confidence that it's been scoped out sufficiently.
Got it. Okay. Okay, that's helpful. I mean, but I guess from both of your standpoints, would it be better if we did both the data format and the protocol and had the whole package done? Or do you think we could wait a couple of years, get the data format done, you know, figure out how it's doing in the market, and then get the protocol done? What would you prefer to happen?
Boy, I'm having a hard time addressing that question. My worry is I would whatever it takes to get your group started and on the map and doing work, the better.
Right.
because I think that gives a center of gravity to the work. And I would urge that the group start up, get a center of gravity established, because it helps coordinate a lot of disparate efforts that I don't think are going to be fruitful unless they're coordinated.
Got it. Okay. All right. That was
great. Right, so I would say whatever you guys can get a stake in the ground established as soon as possible, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Got it. All right. Very helpful. Are there any standardization? I mean, this question we ask more to the more technical folks that we've done the interviews with. Are there any standardization bodies that you feel should be doing this work? Meaning, do you have any opinions on which standardization bodies should be involved? So we know, you know, we're currently exploring whether or not this should be done at the World Wide Web Consortium. IMS Global is participating in a very large way in the work that we're doing at W3C, meaning the task force work here. Are there any other, you know, we've PESC has come up, you know.
Yeah, have you all seen the new revision that PESC just issued last week?
I haven't yet, no.
I would suggest that you at least look at that and make your own determination whether they would be a good partner, or at least somebody to be engaged in terms of. I would love to see. I mean, that may be one people you may want to interview.
And of course, you already mentioned HR Open.
Yeah, and you said you've already tried on the employer side, but that was not good, or.
It was very hard to get anyone to pay too much attention to it. But it might be that we approached it in the wrong way.
I tell you what, I'm going to be what I'd like to do is I'm going to because we are trying to coordinate with all these different standardization groups for, and so I'm going to be attending the HR Open Consortium meetings in March.
Okay.
And that would be the logical entity, I would think, to connect to. I don't know. I'll know more what they're doing in this space, and I'd be more than happy to make that connection or communicate if they're doing anything in this space that would be worth connecting to.
That would be fantastic, because we really don't have any connections in that space.
I'm thinking is, I'm going to be on a discussion with them in the middle of March, and I will be more than happy to send you information or suggest connections after that.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Thank you very much for that, by the way. Okay. So I think we've gone through a lot of the things that we wanted to cover today. Now that you have a bit more of an idea of, you know, what we're trying to do, so just to recap, the verifiable claims work, if we're able to create a working group at the World Wide Web Consortium around it, so a working group works on the actual technical specification. Once they're chartered, the end of the charter is the publication of an international standard around how you express credentials, and potentially a protocol for how you exchange these credentials over the web. And they're all verifiable, you know, digital signatures, the whole nine yards. Now that you know that that's, you know, you have a better idea of that that's what we're proposing, that we're working on, do you have any other ideas or concerns about that space around, you know, how difficult it might be to deploy this stuff from a business perspective, business models, are they there? Any other thoughts of that kind?
No. And it looks like as long as you're coordinating the work with the other groups that are working on this, it looks like you're coordinating with IMS Global already. But the idea is to coordinate with other people who are working in this space. I think I have no reservations. It's important work that needs to be done, and if the World Wide Web Consortium can work to coordinate related initiatives in doing this work, that would be very valuable.
Okay, fantastic. And to, you know, put a finer point on it, I think the goal here is, you know, whatever CTI ends up creating, meaning, you know, you have a registry, you're saying, you know, this is what these, this is effectively what these credentials mean. One of the use cases, or one of the use cases that we're going to be putting in here, is the idea that you could take something from the CTI, you know, registry and issue a credential, you know, a digital credential that someone can store somewhere using this W3C technology. So that's how we, you know, when we spoke with Jeannie, you know, last week, and really you earlier in the year, that's the kind of coordination we kind of see maybe six months to 18 months down the road. Are both of you under the same impression?
Yes, that exactly. And I'm really excited also, just a little variation of what you just said, because of the importance of having that connection, especially on authentication services, that is such a critical connection. And yes, it's right on the money.
Okay, fantastic. Anything else for the interview today?
No, it just me. How do we keep in contact on where you're at?
Jeannie has my email address. There is this Verifiable Claims Task Force page. We have meetings. sorry, let me get a link for both of you. So every meeting that we have is recorded and transcribed, just like the one we're having right now. So you can look at all the Verifiable Claims Task Force meetings that we've had there. There's also a credentials community group that I suggest that so at least one person from CTI joins. We actually do have a couple of folks from CTI that regularly join our credentials and verifiable claims task force meetings. So there's already that hook in there. Stuart Sutton is absolutely fantastic, and you know, he kind of knows what's going on between the two initiatives, I think. I expect that we have.
That's wonderful. As long as Stuart and Jeannie are connected, that's wonderful.
Yep. Okay, awesome. Well, you know, Jeannie, Bob, thank you so much for your time today. We know that both of you are tremendously busy, so we really appreciate you taking the time and giving us background on the CTI and you know, what you think of our problem statement and general direction. We will publish these minutes publicly within probably the next day or two, and we'll give you a link to the final report after we do all of our interviews and that kind of stuff. That should be wrapping up probably at the end of this month. And the goal is to try and have a working group done mid of this year. But again, that's an aggressive goal. We're trying to hit that target, but who knows what's going to happen. We have to convince 400-plus technology companies to march in a particular direction, so that might take a little longer. Okay. Thanks so much, both of you, for the time. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.